This podcast is on the poem called The Underground, written by Seamus Heaney. Before listening to the podcast, read through The Underground in your Poetry Speaks textbook and then write down anything about this poem that puzzles or confuses you. Hopefully by the end of the podcast, you will be able to clear up any confusion or questions you have about the poem. The first heading on your worksheet is Subject Matter. The year is 1965. The poet is in London with his wife. They are newlyweds and are spending the first evening of their honeymoon together. They're about to leave the London Underground on their way to a concert in the Royal Albert Hall. Heaney is a young man and feels light-footed, like Pan, a god from Greek mythology, as he chases after his wife, who rushes ahead of him. It could be later that evening, or perhaps even many years later, Heaney imagines himself as Hansel, retracing his steps back to that drafty train station, feeling tense and vulnerable, but trusting in his wife that she is following behind him. We move on now to theme. One key idea in this poem is the advice to keep going and to never look back on life and on love. In mythology, Orpheus lost his wife when he turned around to check if she was still following him. Heaney's poem is about trust, not only in marriage, but also in himself, in his career as a poet. He tells himself to keep going, to keep moving forward, even when he may feel apprehensive. For quote 3, you can see that The Underground, it can be quite a challenging poem for a lot of students. Nonetheless, try to find any three images that give you a sense of what happens in the poem and what feelings the poet expresses in the poem. If you include a quotation from either of the references to Greek mythology, it might be helpful to look back over the glossary in your Poetry Speaks textbook before including a reason for selecting it. Now we move on to imagery. Seamus Heaney includes images from Greek mythology in the poem. The first image is of Pan, a young virile Greek god pursuing the goddess Syrinx, who turned into a bed of reeds to escape his attention. Heaney writes, "Me then, like a fleet god, gaining upon you, before you turned to a reed." The image suggests the playful sexual tension between Heaney and his wife, who only married earlier that day. The second image from Greek mythology refers to Orpheus, who had to descend into the underworld to lead his wife Eurydice back to Earth and the land of the living. Of course, the underworld image clearly links with the underground imagery at the start of the poem. Just at the point where Orpheus is ready to leave the underworld, he turns back to check on his wife, at which point she vanishes from his sight, never to be seen again. The image is central in the poem because it underlines Heaney's determination to move beyond his doubts in life and to keep striving to move forward, to keep going, to keep believing. The next heading is language. The language is vivid throughout the poem and it effectively establishes the setting, that is the time and place, immediately. It is 1965 and we are in London. The poet emerges from a tube train and races beneath the vault tunnel of the underground station with his wife towards the Albert Hall. He imagines some buttons from his wife's coat loosening and falling to the ground, leaving a trail of sorts. Remembering years later, he thinks of himself as Hansel, who follows a trail of white pebbles to find his way out of a forest to his home. And so Heaney is referencing these other stories from fairy tale and from mythology to illustrate some of the key ideas in the poem. The main one, which is to be brave and to keep going and to trust your instincts. The next heading is form. The poem is composed of four stanzas, each with four lines. It is tightly constructed, which may suggest the poet's pent-up excitement, but also his apprehensions about being a husband and how his love for his wife might develop. The poem begins with a memory signalled by the phrase, "There we were." Heaney recalled the night of his honeymoon in London. He then returns to the present in line 10 with the words, "And now." We move on next to sound. And there is a pattern of rhyme in stanzas 1 and 4, where lines 1 and 3 and lines 2 and 4 rhyme. The rhyme pattern then is AB, AB. The rhyme, however, is half rhyme rather than full rhyme in some cases. For example, head with read. This may suggest the excited tension between the couple as they anticipate spending their first night as a married couple together. In stanza 2, there are more half rhymes and the pattern is AABB. For example, crimson with button. The idea of the rhymes coming together as in AABB, or alternatively pulling apart as in ABAB, perhaps could mirror the movement of the couple through the poem, with Heaney behind his wife at the beginning of the poem, the two of them then together strolling around London, and finally the poet leading his wife on their return to the station. There is also an effective example of assonance in line 10, where the poet writes, "Our echoes die in that corridor, and now," you can hear that O sound repeat or echo across the line. We move on next to tone and mood. The tone at the beginning of the poem captures the excitement of the young newlyweds, with Heaney, back then, feeling his youthful excitement pulse through his veins almost like a spirited pan. The mood of the poem is quite joyous. We can imagine the anticipation of the young lovers as they race towards the Albert Hall to enjoy each other's company and the promise of a night of entertainment. In stanza 3, it seems that many years may have passed, but Heaney, like Hansel, retraces his steps back to that first night together in London as the couple returned to a draughty, lamplit station. We can sense the eerie and tense atmosphere as the couple enter a cold, empty station. It may reflect the poet's apprehension now, as he faces a new, unfamiliar situation, taking the next steps forward as a husband into marriage. However, the overall mood of the poem is celebratory, and Heaney seems to remember the occasion with great fondness. The final heading is personal response. When you read this poem first, how did you react to it? Did your opinion of the poem change at all after you had studied it a little more? Do you think Heaney's message to never look back, to keep going, is an interesting one? Do you agree that this is good advice?